This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Now heading into evening.
Sure.
Hope you're all having a good day.
Sure.
Big Friday tomorrow. We'll have a lot of fun then. But Kevin Durant finally met with the media in Phoenix, and our Nick Friedell followed him there. Now, the setting was something that involved fans as well. So I want you to hear what Kevin Durant said, and I want you to hear Friedell's question and then the reaction of the crowd.
Kevin, Nick Friedell, ESPN. Hi. How would you sum up your time in Brooklyn? How would you sum up your time in Brooklyn?
And what did he say?
It was a lot of ups and downs, but I loved the grind. So, and everybody in Brooklyn loved the grind too. So I built a family over there. They're going to always be a part of my journey. So we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish as far as winning a championship, just like I told him, but I enjoy the grind. And everybody there, we tried our hardest every day, regardless of what was going on in the media, what was going on with our teammates. Everybody who was in that gym, we grinded. So I love those guys. I get emotional to talk about them because that was a special 4 years of my career, coming off of Achilles. And so yeah, it was terrible how some stuff went down, but at the end of the day, I love the grind. And we all love the grind there in Brooklyn, and I wish them the best going forward. They got a bright future.
If you love the grind, then why didn't you stay? You can have to grind a little bit harder without Kyrie, but if you love the grind, that was a perfect grind. You got some young pieces back in the Kyrie trade that could have helped you, and you still could have contended because you're the greatest player in the world, and you add Dinwiddie and Finney Smith, and all of a sudden it's not that awful of a team. And in fact, it's a pretty good team when you come back. So do you understand why would he get emotional? Here's the thing about Kevin Durant that frustrates me. I think he's really, really smart. I think he's really astute. Obviously, he's a phenomenal basketball player. The fact that he allowed Kyrie to lead him around as if he was the little brother will never, ever be reconciled with me in terms of a guy who is in control of his life, but that aspect of it, he turned it all over to Kyrie Irving. I don't get it.
Did I mishear? Did he said what I built in Brooklyn? Did I mishear that?
I think so. I don't think you heard that right.
I don't think he said that. You think he said that, Peter?
I don't think so. No.
No.
But either way, I don't understand how you get emotional. If you're emotional, nobody forced you to leave.
Right, stay.
Well, I don't get these players.
Why did the crowd boo?
Well, first of all, Friedell was looking for some kind of reaction. He wanted KD to say hello to him. So that made them laugh. I don't know why they booed like that.
Don, the line from KD was, he said, I built a family there.
Okay, that's right. So all right.
What,
so
that, a little Manson bit family?
Yeah.
What kind of family? The Adams family?
Well, but even that, I built a family. Well, you didn't build anything. You just followed Kyrie. Kyrie, I guess, built it. And if it's such an important family, it was dysfunctional, I'll tell you that. And
it
if
was
you
awful.
Were so... Yeah, I always wonder about these players, Michael. You know, when they sign as a free agent someplace else, and then they cry how they miss the place they left, and don't leave. Now, if
you
it's a situation
to
when
be traded,
I mean, you wanted to trade, and so how much could you really have missed it if you're demanding out? And again, it wasn't like he was there for 20 years, or you know, he was there for 4 years, but basically three. Because he was hurt.
No,
for one
no,
of the
five.
Years.
The what, first five, year right. was the Achilles. Yeah.
So and that might have had something to do with the emotion, because I'm sure that was an emotional time for him to miss that much time because of the Achilles. But, if you loved it that much and emotional to leave, you didn't have to. And if you have they have a bright future. He mentioned that. So imagine how much brighter the future would be if he was still there.
And if you think about it. There's a lot of things he could mean by the grind, right? But a lot of the grind, if you want to take it in a negative sense, you know, the things he had to go through, was because of his guy.
Right.
The guy he followed into the gates of hell. His guy is the guy who made it a grind. It could have been wonderful. You had three transcendent talents wearing the same uniform. They should have run away with titles. But Harden got chased away because he didn't want to deal with Kyrie's nonsense. But Kevin never said no to Kyrie. Never, as far as we know.
Not publicly.
Not publicly.
And we'll never know if was there friction behind closed doors. Did he get in his face about it but just didn't want to make it public? Because if that were the case, you'd almost want to defend KD for not airing out the dirty laundry in public.
Remember Harden said, I'll give him the shot myself. And KD said, I don't tell people what to do. So I don't think he did much behind the scenes. He acquiesced to everything that Kyrie was about.
Probably not. But wouldn't it be interesting if he did that publicly because he wanted to show support to a teammate, didn't want to be that guy, but behind closed doors ripped into him and wanted him to get the shot or wanted him to be more focused on basketball? We don't know. Most likely you're right. I'm sure that that's the same way. But there would be some honor in not airing the dirty laundry.
But Kyrie said that after 1 year they both knew they wanted out. Really, why? Joe Tsai treated you so badly? You got the coach you wanted. I don't get it.
I just
don't get it.
You know, I joke about, you know, if you're not bowing at the altar, you're disrespecting. I think literally that's the case there. I mean, would they want to just run the whole show?
They did.
They did.
They let them run the show. They ran into the ground.
I really want to know, because you do hear some people say the Nets this, the Nets that. What could the Nets have done differently? Other than maybe not making the deal in the first place, and certainly not getting Harden. But in the treatment of Kyrie, where did they drop the ball? Was it not letting him play initially with the shot? But they turned around quickly after that.
No, I think the whole player empowerment thing was wrong. I mean, you listen to them, but you don't let them fire a coach. You don't let them get rid of Kenny Atkinson, who helped build the culture.
No, there's plenty of things they did wrong in that sense. I'm saying, what did they do wrong to Kyrie? Like, what could Kyrie's list of grievances be against Brooklyn?
Well, when they wouldn't let him play, I guess.
That's the only one I can think of.
He also didn't like what they did with the anti-Semitic trope that he promoted.
And there's something to that. But again, I'm sure the problems that the Nets had with Kyrie, that list is a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. All right, we have Mike Tannenbaum coming on with us right now.
Oh, there he is.
And Mike is going to talk Rodgers, because that's all we ever talk about is Aaron Rodgers. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. You know, we talked in the 4 o'clock hour about Adam Schefter saying that if Rodgers goes to the Jets, like he climbs out of his dark hole and says that he will accept a trade to New York, that it would take the 13th pick. And my question to you, Mike, if you're the GM and you can't convince him to at least assure you of 2 years, would you trade the 13th pick in the first round for 1 year of Rodgers?
No, the only way I would consider doing something like that, guys, was when we traded for Brett Favre. We put some conditions in the trade papers, which is a contract between two teams of if Brett Favre plays a certain amount of time and we had success, then we would increase the draft choice compensation from a third round up to a second. So you could put in stipulations like that, but barring like significant protections, I would not. I would want to know that I'm getting at least two, ideally 3 years from Rodgers.
I just think that if you're – and I believe you think that this team with the right quarterback can make a serious run. Top five defense, a lot of weapons offensively. Do you think that, or do you think that Rodgers would only make them a playoff team?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Look, I think both things can be true. Aaron Rodgers used to be a great quarterback. You know, this year, let's face it, he played and they didn't make the playoffs. And the NFC was down. Now, look, is Aaron Rodgers a significant upgrade for the Jets right now? Of course he is. Serious run? Like, look, you know, I think if the Jets could get to the playoffs, that, you know, just brings a certain sense of, like, credibility to the program and allows you to sort of view the world differently, because once you're in, you always have a chance. Like, you know, our Jet teams are great examples of that. You know, we were somewhat inconsistent in the regular season, got in, and, you know, things obviously worked out pretty well. But point being is, you know, if you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he elevates your whole program overnight, and you know, it'd certainly be a massive upgrade at the quarterback position.
But I guess the reason I defend giving up the 13th overall pick without the assurance of a second year is I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Aaron Rodgers can have this Jet team competing for a Super Bowl in 2023. If you think that, can you let the 13th overall pick stop you from going for that if you believe that he can be that kind of a difference?
Yeah. Again, like for me, that's a heavy lift knowing what else you have in the AFC with Mahomes and Burrow, you know, so many other good players, Josh Allen. And I think, look, those guys want to be running that program for a number of years. And what you don't want to have happen, guys, is, you know, that's like the upside of the transaction. The downside is in a year, you don't have the quarterback and you don't have, you know, anything to show for it.
Here's a question I brought up earlier. So everything that's been reported, nobody has said it out loud, Mike, is that the Packers would not trade him to the NFC. And I likened it to having a high-end art auction in New York and saying only people on the east side of Manhattan could bid. People on the west side, you can't. You can't own this art. How short-sighted is it of the Packers to worry about facing Rodgers in the playoffs when if they maybe Carolina gives them three first-round draft picks? Why would you eliminate half the league in the bidding?
Look, you don't eliminate it. If someone's going to offer you three first-round picks, you would trade them to the Detroit Lions. But the reality is, and candidly, like going back, you know, when we traded for Favre, that actually helped us. You know, initially Brett Favre wanted to go to Tampa Bay. He wanted to play for, you know, the then head coach, John Gruden, who they had known back from their Packer days. But if it's close, you certainly want to go to, you know, the other conference. So I think that's hopefully to the Jets' advantage in this situation, which is, you know, a team like Carolina, look, they're not going to give up three ones, but if they double the Jets' offer, then yeah, that'll come into the mix. But hopefully the Jets can use that, you know, for the benefit of the doubt.
Now, you were mentioning about the problem with getting Rodgers is to navigate through Mahomes and Burrows and Allen, and so there's no assurances that you're going to be able to make a run. But if Rodgers gives me a second year, it's not like those quarterbacks are going anywhere. So would you even be, if you could even get the second year, does your opinion change that much? Because it's going to be just as hard, I guess, in 2024 as it would be in 2023.
Yeah, no, it does, Don. And here's why. It gives you at least 2 to 3 drafts to go find his replacement. It gives you stability and time. You know, that's what every team wants. They want to have, you know, a chance to get into the tournament, be one of the 7 best teams out of 16, and then keep, you know, building from there. And look, you know, you just got to assume at this point, Zach Wilson, it is what it is. You know, you just can't expect any reasonable productivity from him. And therefore, to me, like if you get Rodgers on a 2-year deal, I have, you know, 3 drafts, different drafts to try to get his replacement. And it just changes sort of the trajectory of the team. And it, more importantly, it buys you time.
And also, Mike, if you're going to put contingencies on the pick, then this 13th pick is not even going to be part of the trade because you have to see what he's going to do. It's probably going to be 2024,
yep.
Right?
That's exactly right. Now, there's ways to work around that. You could give him the 13th pick, and then they could give you a 2-bath the following year. You know, there's ways to figure it out. You know, job number one, you know, I made this joke on Get Up a couple times, but, you know, the day after they lost to Detroit, I would have called up Green Bay and say, hey, I want permission to talk to the player. And I would have flown out to California, Pebble Beach, wherever he was, just to really sit down with him and say, hey, look, you know, New York is an opportunity unlike any place else. You win here, you win forever. And I'm talking about, like, Derek Jeter and Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor and all those all-time greats from Parcells, Coughlin, Manning, on and on and on. And I would sell him in sort of a much different way than going to play for the Titans or the Raiders. And then once you get him locked in for a couple of years, then you sit down with the Packers and say, hey, look, if we get to the Super Bowl, yeah, we could talk about a first-round pick, but let's talk about something reasonable that builds from there.
Why didn't they do that? Like, it seems like that would have been the common logic, Mike, to get out there immediately and get some face time.
Well, I mean, in fairness, maybe they have. You know, like, we don't know, you know, what they did or didn't do. All I know is, like, if I have an opportunity to get an all-time great, knowing my other options are the Mike Whites, the Jimmy Garoppolos of the world, like, I'm trying to box out my competition to the extent I can. And, you know, maybe they have done that.
I want to ask you about Rex interviewing with Sean Payton. Does that surprise you? Because after the Buffalo job, he said, that's it. That's my last job. And now he's talking about a defensive coordinator job. And you know Rex very well. Does this surprise you?
No, he came out of the womb as a coach. He's going to go to the grave as a coach. And, you know, he's done coaching for, you know, the next 10 minutes. So he's going to coach again. You know, not that we want to lose him as an ESPN teammate, but, you know, that's what he was put on this plan to do. And if it's Sean Payton lucky enough to get him, great. He will coach again. That's just, he's just too good at it. It's too natural to him. And, you know, he's a rare, unique guy that that's what he should be doing long term.
All right. I also have to ask you what the Cardinals are doing. So I would think that the new coach of the Cardinals, job 1, 2, and 3, is to fix Kyler Murray. And they went out and hired a defensive coordinator. Why?
Yeah, that's a fair question. You know, you're hoping that he's going to build a really good program for the long term. And look, you know, been part of hiring 5 different head coaches, and who their staff is a big part of it. So I'm sure there's some level of confidence that they're going to get candidate A, B, or C, and they feel really good about who that person is going to be. So we'll see. Let's just give it a grade of incomplete, but your logic is spot on.
A lot of cap issues for the Eagles. They lose both their coordinators. How confident are you that they'll be able to repeat what they did last year?
You know, I think they're going to be really good. I think Jalen Hurts has just gotten so much better. But, you know, I think Dallas is really, you know, nipping at their heels. You know, Dak Prescott had 17 interceptions. I don't expect that to happen again. I think they'll go out and get another receiver, keep Tony Pollard. And then you look at a team like San Francisco that was, let's face it, toe-to-toe with them until, you know, they lost their 4th quarterback. So Philly will be competitive, but I do think Dallas and San Francisco will have a big seat at the table as well.
Mike, I read a story today that there's a chance, it looks like, the Eagles would give Jalen Hurts a contract for $50 million a year. Now, I obviously, Jalen Hurts had a really fine year. I'm not sure I would commit that kind of money, but that's not even my question. My question is Daniel Jones' price going up without doing anything?
100%. You know, when we were talking, you know, the 4 of us in August, we were talking about, hey, you know, is there some sort of hybrid band-aid contract? You know, is it 20 million, then it's 25, then we're in the Kirk Cousins range? And absolutely, guys, there's 14 teams that need quarterbacks. There's maybe 2, 3 at most in the draft, and absolutely, the supply and demand is really tracking really well for Daniel Jones right now.
He might get $40 million a year.
Yeah, I think he'll get franchised, because if I'm the Giants, like, your concerns about paying Jalen Hurts are the same ones the Giants are going to have about paying Daniel Jones. And that's why I think it's tailor-made. You tag him for a year, figure out how to get Saquon signed, and then reevaluate things once you get through, you know, year number 2.
But if you tag him for a year, then Burrow's going to get a new contract. The price is only going to go up.
Well, yeah, but I think you'll have a lot more confidence that you're signing the right guy.
Gotcha.
And you want to see him do it back-to-back years. And I think you don't mind overpaying for an A. What you don't want to do is, you know, overpay for a B-minus who turns the ball over.
All right, so if they franchise Jones, though, then you can't franchise Saquon. You're probably going to lose him.
Yeah, I think that's what I would be doing, aggressively trying to sign Saquon to a 3-year deal. I would look at him as an offensive weapon, much the way, you know, Christian McCaffrey was used down the stretch by the 49ers. I would take that running back tag off of him and just look at him as a guy that he's an improved pass protector. He's great out of the backfield, and, you know, you don't make the playoffs without him, and he's the highest character you could have. And, you know, to me, he's a guy you just have to keep, and you just work really hard in the structure, try to minimize your downside and lock him up to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what's happened in this world. We were talking about this the other day, Mike. You know, football players never got paid as much as baseball players or basketball. Now they get paid more. And
you know,
quarterbacks get the lion's share of it.
Yeah, Mike, it's funny you say that. We were talking about that on Get Up the other day, that, you know, the A basketball players now are $50 million plus a year. And when we start talking about Burrow and Herbert and that group, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, they're sitting at the same table. And look, you can make an argument they deserve to be. They're playing the most difficult position. They're trying to get hit on every play by the opponent. And, you know, if NBA players are making 50 a year, you know, shouldn't the quarterbacks be, you know, in the same sort of market?
And it's also stunning that the highest paid baseball players are the 2 Met pitchers, right? And that's the one sport that doesn't have a cap.
Yeah, and didn't DeGrom already have back tightness? So, like,
yes.
We're not even out of the first week of training camp, right?
It's unreal.
Amazing. Amazing. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it, as always.
All right. Great to be with you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So there's word that he wants what McCaffrey gets, which is $16 million. So they might want him to come back, but I think they want him to come back within the confines of their salary structure. I don't know if they give him $16 million. I think they might let him walk away. If he insists on $16 million, I want to see the team out there that's going to pay $16 million for running back.
I don't think so. Who would be out there? Like, it's hard, right? Because who needs a running back? You know, it's hard to kind of figure. You kind of use like an in-season thing. Somebody gets hurt. Like when the 49ers were able to pick up McCaffrey, you know, that was kind of in-season, not so much something like in the off-season signing. And that's just a major hit. You'd have to have a lot of cap room to throw $16 million at a running back. So hopefully
Let's
they figure
the
something out.
Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Joe.
What's up?
How is it? I hope everyone is well.
Yes. Same to you.
Thank you. One quick thing, gentlemen. What we heard about Aaron Rodgers last year is he had trouble because of his young, inexperienced receivers, not playing with them before. If he leaves the Green Bay Packers and goes anywhere else, including the New York Jets, he's playing with players he hasn't played with before.
Well, yeah, if he, that's why staying with the Packers, Joe, and we thank you for the phone call, is definitely a possibility. But anywhere he goes, he's going to adapt to new receivers and new players and a new offensive line. But he could look at the Jets receiver and say, you know what? They're not just young, but they're really, really good.
Well, I don't think it was so much young. Like he, or not knowing them, is that they were young and inexperienced. I mean, they'll be a little bit more experienced here with the Jets. And no matter what team he goes to, I guess with the exception of Vegas, because he would know Adams, but you're still going to have to get adjusted to new players. One thing he will not have to get adjusted to is the system here, where in Vegas he'd have to make, a bigger adjustment. So I wouldn't worry about not knowing the players as much as I think the problem he had, they were so inexperienced in Green Bay. And even though the Jets are young, they still have a whole year under their belt, and I don't think experience is that big of an issue.
John in Phillipsburg. John.
Hey, guys. Just before I get to my point, you know, earlier I think that Don was just really getting so animated about this this entertainment thing, because you know it's just such a mainstream song, and you know, like Don, he's very much about, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like they're not going to play some obscure metal song. So I think it's more of just a Metallica fan thing than a Yankee thing.
It might be. I just didn't think it hit the same way. It was just like other relievers use it.
It just right. I don't know. It just seemed like it was just an entrance. It didn't. It's hard to put into words.
It wasn't big enough for Mo. It wasn't special enough.
That's a great way to put it. Didn't have the uniqueness that I think Mo brought to the table. With other closers using it, it just didn't seem to hit the same.
He made it more unique.
Can I say something here? I feel like Don's a little too close to this on both counts. Like, you're very close to sports and very close to metal. To me, Enter Sandman, like, that is Mo's song. Like, yes, I know it generally, but it definitely is Mo's song. And also, let me say, as a non-metal fan, and maybe this speaks to your point that it's a bad metal song, I love the song. I think it's great. I think non-metal fans, it's a song that really resonates with people. So I think you're too close to it.
See, I was getting a little crazy when, like, I don't care for the song. It's not their best song. But that's not the overall point. It just didn't – I don't think it showed a lot of imagination is my point. It's not a unique song. It's a very common song.
It wasn't common when they started using it for him.
No, it
became common because of him.
No.
It was already a big song.
It became much bigger.
Wagner
because
was
of
using
Mo.
It. Hoffman was using it. It wasn't an inspired decision. It was. I'm joking when I say lazy. It was just like, hey, this sounds cool for, you know, put him to sleep or whatever. But it's the same thought that a lot of other teams and a lot of other closers have. He made it his own because he was the greatest closer. That's why I said it could be the Peanuts theme. It would still be Mo's because Mo makes anything because he was that great.
Also, what year did Mo get special?
He became the closer in 97, and he became otherworldly in 98.
So, I mean, you're talking about 6-7 years after the song was released. It definitely had its – it was an impactful MTV song, period.
And Timmy Trumpet, again, I'm not – that's not my realm of music, Peter, but that's the first time I ever heard the song. Like, so
– oh, me too. I think most people – that's the thing. But here's where I think you lost me in the argument.
Go ahead.
Like, isolated as a song, the Timmy Trumpet, while it's really fun and it's like hype-up music, it's really cheeseball. I don't think of Enter Sandman being super cheeseball.
Okay.
And I think what Mo was saying, that you can't compare the two songs. I had it for 17 years, and I made it special – and you even admitted, Don, that this song became unspecial by
right. Oh,
September.
Don agreed with that part, no doubt about it. His special play
is what made it work.
Mo was saying. But it's silly. All I'm saying is this: it's a silly question, or it's just silly to go there because then there's no argument. One like had it a moment for like about a month and a half, and the other one was iconic for 17 years. So it's ridiculous to compare. But I just think there was just something special about Timmy Trumpet. Most of, whether it's right or wrong, most of the audience heard that song for the first time when Diaz walked out. So there was a specialness to it, a uniqueness to it that I thought was really creative and fun. And then what happened, Peter? They made it uncreative and fun and lacked fun by just overdoing it.
Let's go to Sean in Connecticut. Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan. Listen to you guys every day.
Thanks, man.
So I just want to say I think there's a lot of unconscious bias against certain quarterbacks in the NFL. Michael, when you had Mike Tannenbaum on earlier, you said that Daniel Jones' stock was going up and his price was going up. But for some reason, you say you don't want to pay Jalen Hurts, a guy who just carried his team to the Super Bowl.
But I don't want to pay Daniel Jones either, Sean.
But you just
all
said
I was
you
saying was if you're giving Jalen Hurts 50, Jalen Hurts deserves to make more than Daniel Jones. But if you're giving him 50, then by not doing anything more, Sean, Daniel Jones' price is going up. That's all I'm saying. I can't believe Daniel Jones is going to make $40 million a year. I can't believe it.
But you
Jalen
know
Hurts having –
Why but would Daniel Jones is an average quarterback at best. He's a middle third quarterback.
I agree.
Quarterback.
No, we're arguing.
That's unfair.
We're arguing to say, I don't know if he's average, but I don't think he deserves $40 million. But the way that prices are rising for quarterbacks, if Jalen Hurts gets 50, Daniel Jones, without moving a finger, went from 35 to 40.
It's all timing.
Super Bowl quarterback is the same as Daniel Jones?
I'm not saying he's getting the same. I'm saying Jalen Hurts is getting 50, and Daniel Jones is probably going to get 40. When did I say he was going to get the same? They're not even close to the same quarterback.
If you think middle market quarterbacks should get 40, that's one thing. Daniel Jones' stock should not be going up. He is easily replaceable. There are at least four free agent quarterbacks or four quarterbacks who will be on the market who are just as good, if not better.
Tell me the four. Tell me the four.
Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr,
okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, and Ryan Tannehill. Just as good, if not better.
Ryan Tannehill is not just as good.
Get Rodgers, and you're an NFC team.
Ryan Tannehill continues to take his teams to the playoffs every year.
With a running game.
One playoff appearance, has one playoff win against a subpar team. He played in the NFC East where he was 1-4-1. He had three wins against winning teams wins against winning teams.
But he still had a good year, and you say make it so easy to get another quarterback. First of all, you can't get Aaron Rodgers because the Giants are in the NFC. All right.
Okay.
All right. I would rather have Derek Carr, but there's going to be a lot of other teams that are going to be bidding for him, so you might not be able to get Carr. Garoppolo, I don't know. I mean, he gets hurt a lot. I probably would rather have Garoppolo, but it's probably marginal improvement that I don't know how much I want to pay for. And I'm sorry, Daniel Jones is better than Ryan Tannehill. I know Tannehill went to a championship game.
How many full seasons has Daniel Jones played?
He won, but he finally has a coach. See, Sean, here's the problem.
Okay, then. So why are you saying Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt as much?
Jimmy G's injury got hurt this year. He's got it. Sean, forget about what happened before. He's got coaches now. He finally was getting coached up. All right. Thank you for your service. I'm not going to judge Daniel Jones with hacks as coaches, okay? He finally now has really good coaching, and he had a good year. Average, that's insulting. He was not an average quarterback. He was an above-average quarterback, and I see that there's potential. I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. With this coaching staff, he had zero weapons to throw the football, and he still was able to produce a team that made the playoffs, and he won a playoff game on the road. Okay, Minnesota's not that impressive. We said it all year, but it's a playoff win on the road. Ryan Tannehill had a great offensive line, one of the best running backs in football, a really good defense. He was the reason, Peter, they couldn't get over the hump because he wasn't special. You're not going to tell me that I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill than Daniel Jones.
Didn't Tannehill lose his job at the end of the year?
Yeah, of course he did.
Tennessee doesn't even want him back. How good is the guy?
It was a ridiculous point, all right? He threw up Aaron Rodgers as an option. Obviously, he hasn't paid attention to the news that Green Bay is not going to trade him in conference. So it's not easy to replace Daniel Jones, and that's the way it is. You know, there were times, guys, where Eli Manning was the highest-paid player in football, that Matt Ryan was the highest-paid player in football. You got to look at the timing and the situation where these guys get paid. Granted, nobody thinks that Daniel Jones should be paid in the same stratosphere as a quarterback that went to the Super Bowl. But timing's everything, guys, and he's going to end up getting close to $40 million because of that. That's why the price has gone up, because how are you replacing him?
The guy called up to argue a point, and he was actually agreeing. I never said that Daniel Jones should make what Jalen Hurts should make, and I'm sorry. No. I'm not going to be bullied into the fact that Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback.
I think the confusion for Sean was that you said Daniel Jones' stock was rising, and maybe because the other day you said you weren't blown away by Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl, which are not the same thing. Anyone who watched Daniel Jones' entire career, you have to believe his stock has gone up this season. Furthermore, Jalen Hurts, who is fully, we all agree, at the table ahead of Daniel Jones, at least.
Right.
That by his demanding so much money, and he'll get it, inherently makes the money go up for Jones.
And I don't believe, I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts is not at the same table as Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Or as Joe Burrow. He's not there.
He's between those guys and Daniel Jones.
Right, but that's not how you judge whether you pay a quarterback. Can I afford to lose that quarterback? And the timing of it.
Yep.
What is the phrase, a high tide raises all boats? Well, that's what. So if Jalen Hurts got 60, then guess what? I guess there's a possibility that other quarterbacks can now get 45 or 50 because that'll change the rate. So it's all about the desperation of the team, other quarterbacks that are available. The one thing I'll say about Jones is that I'm really anxious to see another year with some weapons in this coaching. So overall, his career has not been that impressive outside of this year, but there's a reason why this year changed. He finally had good coaching. Now with a chance with cap space, hopefully, of being able to get him some weapons, I'm really anxious to see if Sean will think that Daniel Jones is just an average quarterback after next season.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Now time for today's ice pick, driven by Nissan. I'm going to go for it. You want to dare to be great. The Detroit Red Wings, who I got to see back on Monday when everybody made fun of me that I was going to go see the Flames and the Red Wings, got firsthand look at Detroit. I've been impressed. They won that game 6-1. They won in a shootout last night against Edmonton. And because it's the second of back-to-backs and the end of their Western Canadian trip, it's a plus 220 on the money line for the Red Wings to go to Calgary and beat the Flames. So I've got a hunch at plus 220. I'm going to go with the Red Wings on the money line. Dylan Larkin's been hot. 2 more points last night. That's today's ice pick, and it's driven by Nissan. Hurry to your Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Get a killer deal on your local Nissan at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
Let's go to Tony in Belrose. Tony.
How are you, Mr. K? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I really wanted to direct the call to Mr. Don LaGreco, if I can, please.
Please. Sure. Please do.
Okay, I listened to the game last night that you broadcast, the Vancouver Ranger game.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. I mean, just alone after a goal was scored, your inflection on one voice, and then all of a sudden you came in as if you were the color commentary. It was as if there were two people there. You did one of the best jobs. I'm 75 years old. I've heard everybody broadcast. I used to always fall asleep with the radio under my pillow, and you did one of the most excellent jobs I ever heard.
Well, that means a lot to me, man, especially when you said that, you know, it's a late game. And I might have talked about this before. Like, when I was a kid, late baseball, late hockey games, Michael, as being a radio guy, I love those. And, like, thinking, wow, they're so far away and it's so late at night. And to be able to call those games and, you know, be in Vancouver of all places. So that means a lot to me. Thank you so much for that. I didn't notice the inflection difference. I haven't listened to it back, but I guess you just put on a different hat and it just comes across differently. But thank you for your feedback, man. Appreciate it.
Did you try? It's interesting, you know, for those that tuned in late, Dave was under the weather. So Don did the game himself. And Dave's fine. I'm just wondering, did you think about color commentator Don stepping on play-by-play Don?
Oh, my God. That's something you know what? I never considered that, Michael.
Yeah.
That color guy Don would get so hyped that he'd step on himself.
Right. Well, I could see it.
There was no steppage. I'm going to tell
you about steppage too, Don. I didn't even tell you this off the air. I take any steppage back because I've listened to John Wallace trample Ed Cohen on the Knick games. I mean, trample him. Not even on like big plays. Just step on Ed's head.
Wow.
So Dave doesn't do much steppage compared to John.
And I can't imagine there'd be a world in which Ed would pin John Wallace against the wall and tell him where it's at. I don't think that would work out for Ed.
No.
And I mean, I'm sure Ed thinks the way I do, and it's not that big of a deal. But the only thing I did think of, because sometimes you get inside your own head, Michael, and it quickly went away because you're so focused on the game. It's like, it's just me. This is it. There's nobody else. You know, God forbid if I, you know, have a choking fit or coughing fit or I've got all of a sudden go to the bat. Like, there's nobody. Nobody's back. This is it. So there was that kind of anxiety of, I'm out on an island by myself. There is literally nobody else to turn to get a word in or catch a break. But once you start going, you don't think about it. But like in the real time, Peter, you're like, okay, this is it.
Well, we're going to hear some Don LaGreca calls during ENN, of course.
Ooh. Both play-by-play and analysis?
Sure, of course. Okay. It's all Don all the time. And number two, I guess what you're saying, Don, is you were not afforded the luxury of eating nuts last night.
No. They had a night. I got to tell you, they treat you good in Vancouver. You're in a gondola, so you're off away from everybody else. You got to go down these stairs and go into the gondola. I walk out there. They like pizza. Second intermission, gorgeous pizza. Three different kinds.
But it goes without saying it was a nutless night for Don LaGreca.
Well, yeah, there was we were nut free because, as you know, some of these emotional moments are not being emotional. It's just that.
But that's why overcome it and take the lead.
Yeah, no, right there. And the other thing too, I don't know how Michael feels about this. Be careful. Be very leery of popcorn. Popcorn can do that to you too.
Oh yeah.
You know what? That should be a message you put out there. Like
I
to
think
the world.
When Don and I write our broadcasting book, that's going to
be wary of popcorn.
But here's the thing.
And keep nuts out of your mouth.
At least in the NHL. That in every broadcast booth is popcorn.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, that's not getting.
The devil's trying to tempt you.
Yeah, that's not getting. And it's a shame that you had another nutless night last night because you know your anniversary only comes up once a year.
Let's go to Roger in Raleigh. Roger.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Thank you.
I tried to get through yesterday when you were talking about the new pickoff rule in baseball. My question is: so say he throws over twice. Doesn't get him, but then strikes out the batter, and another batter comes up. Does he get another two attempts? And my other question, part two of it, is if the runner steals second, does he get two more attempts to try to get him at second?
You know, Roger, I'm gonna text somebody right now. That those are great questions. I would think that if you strike out, it resets. I'm not quite sure. But I will check, and if a guy goes to second, I'll check right now at the break, and I'll have it during E&N. Great question. There's so many layers to this that really smart managers are just going to expose. They really are. I think the best managers can actually get back to impacting the game and winning games because they can outsmart other people and get an edge. I guarantee you that Buck Showalter slept maybe 2 hours a night during the winter trying to find the inequities in all this. Let's go to Alan in the truck. Alan.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, Alan?
I'm good, man. Yo, thank you, man. I took a picture with you guys on Friday. It was nice. I was wearing my Oakley jersey, my Charles Oakley jersey.
Nice.
I remember that. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, man. Michael Kay in the picture, right? One of the pictures, you look like you want to rob me for it.
Yeah, I would have taken that right off your back. But there were cameras around. People would have seen it.
I asked Don about Portland. He didn't give me no answer, of course.
No,
he never will.
I appreciate the effort, though.
Yeah, then now I want to get into the baseball talk about the music. Don, you know more about metal than me, so I'm not, but that Matador song, the Timmy Trumpet, doesn't it sound like they're about to, bullfight? Like, it sounds crazy.
It was unique. There was a uniqueness to it. That's all I'd say. And I also want to correct Trevor Hoffman came out to Hell's Bells, not Enter Sandman. It was, Billy Wagner might have been the only other one, but
you're talking AC/DC.
Thanks for taking my phone call, guys.
It's AC/DC.
Thanks for coming by, Alan. We appreciate it. Let's go to Kevin, way out in Tennessee. What's up, Kev?
Hey guys, how you doing? First time, long time.
Hello.
Grew up in New York, been a Yankee fan my whole life, but I'm only in my 20s, so my whole life it's been you and you and Paul and David Cohn, Colin McGinnis and John Sterling. But what I was wondering was I've been seeing a lot of stuff online about this AI computer voice thing. I've been seeing all sorts of people with different voices, celebrities and stuff. And I know, one of these days you're going to hang up the microphone. I was just wondering, some people kind of find that weird. Would you ever sign off on something like that?
What, like being a voice of an AI?
Yeah, and having it, call the games or something like an alternate.
Well,
like
Kevin,
I'm glad
you brought it up. We're gonna break this a little bit later on, but thank you for the phone call. But
here we go.
It gives me an opportunity now.
This is news.
We've been going back and forth about the retirement stuff.
Get your typewriter ready, Marshan. Here we go.
What we have been doing is recording me saying every word in the English language. So I can actually leave the show but still host the show.
But here's why you're a hack-a-doodle-doo. you wasted so much time because with this AI stuff, they don't even need that. They don't even need it. I saw a thing the other day. I don't remember.
But they need my voice is what I'm saying.
There's enough of your voice already out there. They're good. They're good. They could probably have you call. I would say within months we'd be looking at they'd be able to have you call a whole game without you being there. And it would basically, you might notice some difference, but it would basically be you.
And would there be a hologram of me on the open?
That's an option. Now, the question is there enough?
No, Michael K.
Is there enough technology in the world, Michael, that could fully simulate with AI a Don and Dick show?
No.
No. So that's,
no. No, because that's
not going to happen for
thing.
A while.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.